Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. How is everybody doing this beautiful Friday? I'm doing fantastic. Hopefully y'all doing the same. Got a lot of things going on here, a lot of things I'm going to talk about. Hopefully you'll call and talk about whatever it is you'd like to talk about, because I do love audience participation. So if you're out there and got something you want to talk about, no holds barred. We can talk about anything and everything tonight, because the you, my co-host, my audience, you have the floor. Okay, the weather here has been pretty good these last few days. I can say that much. It hasn't been as hot, as scorching as it's been all summer long, you know, to the point where you can't breathe, you don't want to be bothered. It just makes you so lazy. But the few days, it's been pretty good here. Hopefully this fall is getting ready to come in, or at least some cool weather. You know, it could be 65 degrees all year round for me. I love the weather. I love the summer, winter, spring, and fall, but the heat literally makes me sick. So I haven't been swimming that much either, but I'm going to get back into the pool get my sexy back. Hey, if you're out there and you listen to the show Wednesday night, I hope you enjoyed it. This Wednesday coming up, we're going to have another steamy hot show. This Wednesday it's going to be sex versus lovemaking. And I'm quite sure all of you have had sex. All of you may have made love, but whatever, we're going to discuss that. That's this Wednesday coming up. And, of course, at the end of the month, you know that's going to be my musical show. I don't know if it's going to be Happy Hour or Slow Jams, but that's what's going to be happening on the end of the month, the 30th, the last Friday of the month. Okay, with that being said, I'm going to start with something that I saw on the Internet today. I get most of my news off the Internet because I don't watch television during the day, and by the time the news comes on and off, I'm busy doing something else. So I be on the Internet, you know, getting little tidbits of news here and there and everywhere. As you know, New York today, there was a shooting. 9 people were wounded and 2 people were killed outside the Empire State Building in Midtown Manhattan after a disgruntled woman's accessory designer named Jeffrey Johnson, no relations, shot his 41-year-old former boss. The two dead include the gunman who was shot and killed by police near the tourist entrance of the landmark skyscraper. 53-year-old Johnson lost his job last year during a corporate downsizing at Hanson Imports. He returned to his office Friday morning to target his former supervisor. The shooting occurred at 9:03 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on West 33rd Street. Johnson followed his former co-worker down 33rd Street and shot him outside of Legends Bar, according to the New York Post. It is unclear if he fired into a crowd of pedestrians outside of the Empire State Building or if the pedestrians caught a crossfire, reported the New York Daily News. A construction worker who witnessed the shooting followed the suspect and then alerted police who were posted nearby. As the officers approached Johnson, he pulled his gun and fired on the officers. They returned fire and killed him, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg said. None of the other people who were shot were seriously wounded, and they are all expected to recover. Some of those wounded may have been hit by police gunfire, Bloomberg said. Now, you know, it's a shame when disgruntled employees go back to the workplace and kill an employee because of something that they were not satisfied with. Or, you know, just like the job had downsized, so I guess he may have lost everything, may have lost his home, his car, his family, or whatever. But that still doesn't give you a reason to go back and kill the people because it wasn't the boss's fault. I'm quite sure that, you know, he had to downsize. But in any event, be careful because a lot of people who are disgruntled are getting even by going back killing their bosses. I don't know what that's going to prove because they're just going to end up either dead like this gentleman or either going to jail for a long period of time. So if you lost your job, maybe, you know, you need to try to do something else, try to get another job or, you know, just don't go and kill people. And I can understand people who lose their jobs and they lose everything, but hey, you're still living, you're still breathing. You know, be thankful for that. I lost my job too, but I didn't really think about going back killing anybody, but I was quite angry, believe me, but losing my job was a blessing in disguise. So, doesn't happen for everybody, but it did happen for me. Another story that I picked up, Mr. Marcus admits starting porn syphilis outbreak by altering his test results. Wow. Every outbreak has a patient zero. Porn actor Mr. Marcus has come out and identified himself as the performer responsible for the current syphilis outbreak that has shut down production in the San Fernando Valley. He believes he contracted the STD on the set, but admits that he altered his syphilis positive test so that he could keep performing. His altered test was what started the scare and initiated the industry's self-imposed 10-day moratorium while actors are tested and treated for syphilis. I tried to cover it up because I said it was like the scarlet letter. It's word syphilis. Whoa, Marcus says to ex-biz, Miss Marcus. Mr. Marcus, syphilis? Mr. Marcus, the one I work with, the one that everybody works with, that one that's been in the industry forever? It is an emotional interview that brought the 18-year veteran actor to tears. Marcus said that he only altered the test because his doctor told him he would not be contagious 10 days after taking a shot of penicillin. I have to live with this. No one else does, he says. I'm very sorry. I did not think that this would come out like this. The porn actor was diagnosed with syphilis on July the 12th, received a penicillin shot on July the 13th, and returned to work 11 days later on July the 24th, AVN reports. However, he still had the STD. Perhaps most disturbing, the producer of the shoot didn't ask for a paper or digital copy of Mr. Marcus' STD test. Instead, the actor showed a copy of the test on his cell phone so that the syphilis portion wasn't visible. For a subsequent porn shoot, Marcus said he folded his test covering the syphilis portion and photocopied it. However, a producer noticed this time that the numbers were missing and called Marcus out on it. As many as 9 syphilis cases have been identified among porn performers, and more are expected. According to the Associated Press, Marcus said that the 3 women he performed with after his diagnosis have all tested negative for syphilis. Marcus tweeted today, "You can be disappointed, but don't throw stones. Some of you are living in glass houses." The porn moratorium comes days after the California Department of Public Health released a report finding that syphilis cases in the Golden State has jumped by 18%. From 2010 to 2011, men had a vascular high rate as it largely affects men who have sex with men. The STD also affected African Americans at a higher rate than any other racial demographic. Los Angeles County officials have approved a ballot initiative that will ask voters to decide whether porn actors should be required to wear condoms in sex scenes. Well, Mr. Marcus. Okay. Now, you find out that you have an STD. You still want to perform because you feel that that's your job. You know, it's heartbreaking that he even thought like that for a minute. He didn't want them to know he had the STD so he could continue to perform. That's low. That's inconsiderate, selfish, and just downright wrong. Then he alters the test. And the person who should be held accountable to, because you need to bring in the paper from the doctor. That's what they should have requested, not a photocopy, not a digital copy, not a phone copy, but the copy from the doctor. And then he's going to say something about he's disappointed. Don't be disappointed. Other people live in glass houses. But that's still not an excuse. Live up to what you did. And they're talking about voting about wearing condoms. Oh, they should have been wearing condoms because he's lucky that it wasn't the HIV virus that he confiscated. He can be lucky about that. And then for him to think that because the doctor said, now the doctor may have not even told him anything like that because he already lied about his test, so he could have made up all this stuff that he's saying. It's not going to, he received the penicillin shot. He couldn't affect anybody 10 days and all this crazy stuff. But anyway, Marcus, from this point on, maybe you need to go on and retire, darling, because the next time you may not be as fortunate. And I never could understand how they could even allow those people to perform without condoms. John Holmes died from AIDS. A lot of those porn stars died from AIDS simply because they weren't protected. But whatever. I see my co-host is on the line. I'm going to bring her in. And I also have a call on the line as well. Good evening, Rhea.
Good evening. How are you today?
I am fantastic. Just simply fantastic. How about you?
I'm doing okay. No complaints whatsoever.
Did you hear the story I just read about Mr. Marcus?
Yeah, it was interesting because I was looking at that earlier this week, and I cut it and sent it to I put it in the email and sent it to several people, and some of them I knew were going to act or react a certain way because they've always tried to convince me how safe porn was, and that they, you know, these people do this, that, and the other, and I'm not I don't care for it, okay? So I don't follow it or anything like that. But I thought I remembered, and it probably the person you just mentioned, but I thought I remembered somebody dying for AIDS, and I thought I remember that in the process, this man had infected quite a few people during his process because he had sex with both males and females. When they would, and I thought I remembered that, you know, when the story broke, and I couldn't don't know no names, so I couldn't, you know, really follow up. And I'm sure if I had a research that I could have found it, but that doesn't surprise me. I'm going to tell you what I was disappointed in. The cockiness of that man and the disregard that man displayed after doing what he did, because I would be willing to bet my left arm that he made other people sick. And who knows how long. I wouldn't, like they said, he couldn't do me with somebody else's thing. I wouldn't believe nothing ever coming out of his mouth. I wouldn't trust him.
Because he said, now he's the one who said that three women he performed with after his diagnosis had tested negative for syphilis. That's what he said. You know, because it's a possibility that they tested positive. You know,
but not then just he's that. Make that depends on when they got tested, though. Because, like, let's say they did it right after it may not have shown up. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't believe nothing he said. There's no, and see, the other thing is, I always felt that they should be using condoms, because that would help promote probably other people using condoms. You know, and it's like, wow. That goes back to what we were saying, what we were talking about, I think last week or maybe even early this week, when I was talking to, I had mentioned to you that they don't even realize that porn, I mean, I'm not going to say they don't even realize that so many people are out here trying to do what they see in porn, when what they see is in porn is not exactly what happened as it's happening.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Yeah.
But
right, but he's the one who's making all these comments. And down here it even says, Marcus said that he only altered the test because his doctor told him he would not be contagious 10 days after taking a shot of penicillin. I have to live with no one else does, he said. I'm very sorry. I did not think that this would come out like this. And see, the doctor may not even have told him anything like that.
Exactly. Exactly.
He would not be contagious 10 days after taking a shot of penicillin. Give me a break. He may have strain that took months to get out of his system.
Exactly.
You know, because there are different strains of syphilis now.
Exactly.
But
now,
I just, you know, all this stuff he's saying is stuff that he is saying, I guess, to sort of like buffer what he did, you know. But That's terrible. And you know him and Superhead had a little thing going on. He was the first porn star that turned her out there. But
wow,
whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's another whole mess, because I think that woman is she's disgusting to me.
Let's see what this one minute
she crying, 1 minute she crying about being misused and abused, and the next minute she trying to teach writing a book, trying to teach girls how to do it. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But go ahead and bring the caller in.
Are you there?
Hello.
Yes, anybody
there?
Hi.
Okay,
yes,
how are you?
Can you hear?
I'm sure
fantastic. And yourself?
Super good. I hope we have a good conversation tonight like we did Wednesday night. I thought everything was great. But let's get it. Yeah, this is very interesting. I guess I first want to do a highlight real quick on Ferguson. I remember Ferguson in New York snapped out on his on unemployment, that the people, I remember when Ferguson got on the train after coming from work and he shot the subway folk up, mm-hmm. and he was looking for people to shoot. And it just goes to show you that a lot of us are one step away from hurting someone on a job who mistreats us, or the mere fact that you're getting ready to lose your job. A lot of people lose their mind in the process. And the economy is really bad. It's unfortunate. And if you can go out here and create a job, or if you can get another job, I think we are blessed. But it just goes to show you that the economy is bad and people aren't as talented as they should be, or don't know a way how to get out of a situation. And the way that we should help each other, I think we should do a better job at it, to making ourselves exposed to help the sister or brother that needs help. But guess what? Money's tight. Money's tight. But you can't, as a result of money being tight, think that the answer is shooting people. Wow. That's not the answer. But let me move on, and I want to talk about Mr. Marcus. It's very interesting what you folks are saying, because I'm with, say, sex. If we're going to have sex, and you don't know your partner's history, and your partner doesn't know your history, okay, you can put yourself in a lot of trouble, because you could be playing with loaded guns. That's one thing.
Yeah.
The other thing is that we have to be careful, like the person that's the co-host with you, on the mentality of the people that we may meet, date, and have, and make love with, and have sex with, because they do have these cocky ways about themselves that I could have sex, and I could have a transmitted disease, and I could keep going, things of this nature. But we got to be careful of the mentality, what this person's sex history is like. And if Mr. Marcus has been in the industry for approximately 18 years or more, you would think it just goes to show you who is on the productive end, who's doing production. If he's been around for 18 years and he doesn't have any control of production at the point where he still has to work, that tells you something about the industry. Who's running the industry? What type of people are running the industry? And are they more interested in making money? And is he not making money by doing his performances? The other thing is that when you see these people like Mr. Marcus and Minaj and Byron Long that have been around for a while and you no longer see them, then a lot of times, unfortunately, something has happened that is negative, whether it's a disease or whether the people that you're shooting with fires them, because that's an interesting job to have. Let's think about that. I mean, you know, how much are they getting paid? Who's paying them? The people who are really making the money are the producers, not the actors or actresses. So I just want to add that situation.
Well, I appreciate that. So moving right along, we're going to get into the Rodney King autopsy.
Before we do that, let me ask you one question. Did they say in that article why he came forward? What made him come forward?
He came forward, I guess, because they had he believes he contracted the STD on his set.
Mm-hmm.
But it says that Mr. Market has come out and identified himself as the performer responsible for the current syphilis outbreak that has shut down production in the San Fernando Valley. I guess things were shut down, and I guess he was out of work, or that may have prompted him. But
okay, all right.
You know, it really doesn't say in depth what prompted him to come out.
We're going to hear another story associated with that, and that story is probably going to be the story that prompted him to make the statement that he made. But go ahead to the Rodney King.
Okay. Rodney King was under the influence of cocaine, PCP, marijuana, and alcohol at the time of his death. According to the death report released Thursday, TMZ reports, the cause of death is listed as accidental drowning, but the drugs were contributing factors. He was in a state of drug and alcohol-induced delirium at the time, and either fell or jumped into the swimming pool, according to the San Bernardino County Coroner's report, the Los Angeles Times reports. The drugs, combined with a heart condition, led to a cardiac arrhythmia, and King was thus incapacitated, was unable to save himself and drowned, according to the report. King's blood alcohol level was 0.06. There is nothing in the history or autopsy examination to suggest suicide or homicide. Reports state the San Bernardino County Sun reports. The PCP found in King's blood is noteworthy because the Los Angeles police officers involved in the 1991 beating said they believed he was on PCP, which can make its users impervious to pain. However, tests at the time showed no trace of the drug. King, 47, died in June after he was found by his fiancée, Cynthia Kelly, at the bottom of the backyard pool at his Rialto home. Kelly said that she awoke to King screaming in the backyard at about 5 a.m. She found him naked, banging on glass, and when she went to get her phone, she heard a big splash. When police arrived, they found a pitchfork, a hoe, and that's not a woman, and a vacuum pool sweeper in the pool, according to TMZ. Kelly told the officers that she used the tools to try to fish her fiancé out of the water instead of jumping in because she is not a good swimmer and was afraid to enter the water. King had struggled with addiction for years after the beating, even appearing on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, and his recently published memoir, Riot Within, A Journey from Rebellion to Redemption. He wrote that he still drank and used drugs occasionally, but that, with Kelly, who had been a juror in a silver suit he bought against the city of L.A., he was on his way to recovery. On the 20th anniversary of the beating in March of this year, King told reporters that he was happy. King became famous in 1991 when a witness videotaped an altercation between King and Los Angeles police, shows officer beating. King was subsequently broadcast on news outlets around the world. After officers involved in the beating were acquitted, the 1992 Los Angeles riots began. Police lost control of the city, and there were 53 deaths, 3,600 fires, 10,000 destroyed businesses, and an estimated $1 billion-plus worth of damage. Responding to the racial tensions that fueled the riot, King famously pleaded at the time for peace, saying, "Can we all get along?" Now, that's really sad. That is sad because what he went through and, you know, going through rehab and, you know, just his life was just really, really sad. And it may have been a contributory fact from the 1991, when did it happen, 1991 beating that caused him to have a downward spiral in his life. So not to say that he wasn't already, you know, alcoholic or a drug addict or whatever, but it, maybe it just was a point in his life where he couldn't let it go. But, you know, it's just sad that he went out like he did.
That's true. You know, can I interject something?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Rodney King, I can remember I was out of undergrad, and I remember the incident took place. I was like maybe at the time, maybe 7 years out of college, and I remember that was the Bush years. Was really tight. The economy was bad. But I feel sorry for Rodney King. Rodney King became a symbol to especially African-American men and women because that's when we really highlighted what police brutality could be like. A lot of times we thought, right, that the police were to serve and protect, but a lot of time they were abusing the public. As opposed to doing the job of catching the burglar or catching the rapist or catching the person who was armed with weapons in order to murder and create and robbery and mayhem. So he became a symbol because he exposed law enforcement. That was one thing. But the other thing is that he had something bothering him that for some reason he couldn't get the monkey off his back. Now, if we look back at that, I never forget how that happened. You see, and people got to look at both sides. He ran through a light. And when he ran through a light, we got to look at both sides now. That right. He could have ran through and killed some innocent people coming across the street. That was one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Happily, right. Unfortunately, there was nobody walking across the street. When he gets... Well, listen, when the police officers apprehend him and see he's black and things of this nature, they use overly excessive force. That's what we didn't like and we saw that became international. And we could see in all the inner cities in America how police sometimes could be criminals behind badges. That was an exposure. You see, now... The other thing is, I believe he was so high and doped up that, fortunately, he wasn't in so much pain. That's just my position and my opinion. But to beat him unmercifully like that and use language like he was running like a pig and reducing him to an animal, that was the racial issue that was involved. That was it too. You see, but unfortunately, I felt that Rodney King was an innocent person who couldn't shake the monkey off his back. That's something that bothered him. And what he should have been doing with the money that he received from the system, it should have been working on his psychological problems. Something like a Mike Tyson should have been getting help. Or T.O. T.O.'s another one. He has a problem. I mean, T.O. has things going on in his life. Something happened, and he needs somebody to get to the root of it because he can't stay with teens. He can't close his mouth. We got to realize sometimes when the system is feeding you money and they're constantly making money off of you and they're constantly giving you money, a lot of times we don't know how to heal the wounds of what we've been through our childhood, and as a result, after a while, we meet our own destruction.
See, I kind of view that in a little different way, as a possibility because I don't know. But sometimes when you are allowed to act certain ways, just like with a child, when you are allowed to act out certain ways, that becomes your norm, and that's what you that that's what you expect people to accept from you. And you don't understand when people are not accepting that for you. One of the things that our society does is build our athletes up to a point whereas a lot of them think they're untouchable.
That's
a lot
right.
of them think that they and at the root of T.O.'s problem, in my opinion, because I think he's a damn fool, but the root of his problem, in my opinion, is more so of him not almost not grasping the reality of you're responsible for your actions. I think he really bought into that. I'm T.O. He bought into that image that he was presenting, and he acted out, and he expected everybody to accept him acting out.
I agree.
Excuse me,
but
who is T.O.?
Terrell Owens. Ain't that Terrell Owens?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Terrell Owens. That's right. That's right. That's
okay.
right. She's right. Yeah. But see, here we go with our think tank, that we should have people to pull him aside like we should have people to pull our president or anybody aside. We should have a mm-hmm. we should have a think tank that goes after the people who are on high levels to pull them to the side and say, man, you got to shut up. You know, what is your problem? Do you know what your problem is? You know, for instance, Jesse Jackson had admitted one time that he found out that his biological father was his next door neighbor, and it bothered him for a while. He might have got a little therapy to shake that. In other words, we are a product of our childhood, and
mm-hmm.
something we don't know how to heal or find the antidote for can bother us, and we could become our own reckless driver and run into that brick wall. So my thing
I agree.
Is that, yeah, so my thing is like, it's like this young lady Superhead. Something happened that every time you turn around, tells you he has sex with Lil Wayne, he has sex with this person. That, I mean, you know, what you do is your business. Now, you're going to turn around and make a book out of that, to go on talk shows with it, date Bill Maher, and as a result now, you made $1 million off of something that should be private for attention. See, some of us, you know, have these problems that we don't address, and we go on in life. And they're bad examples. They're not good examples. But I think somebody should go to the people and say, oh, you know what you're doing. You know, is that the right place to do it? So,
see, that's another one. Okay, because she attempted, when she first started releasing all that she had did, she played the victim. And I said played because that was a play. Then she turned around and became the teacher and became the instructor. And some of that, this is just my opinion, some of that I think is a result of, like, okay, for example, in her case, you have two women who one is famous because of her family. One became famous because she did a sex tape. And these women ain't black, first of all. And it's still that double standard out there. Paris Hilton is famous because of her family, but then Paris Hilton also did a sex tape after Kim Kardashian did one. And her name became this big, huge name. So I think that was, she looked at that and she tried to tap into that reality, quote unquote, market and the fact that sex sells and this, that, and the other. But when she first came out, she tried to come out as a victim. You can't play both sides of the track. You got to decide
right.
which side you're going to be on. Otherwise, you're going to be right in the middle and the train going to run over you.
Good point.
And then it was some article I had read where she had denied the first book. She said it's all lies.
Yeah.
But she had another book coming out. So maybe that was to promote that third book that was coming out. But in any event, she went through some emotional trauma, so she says in the book, you know, because it's really hard now to believe anything that she wrote in that book, because you're going to write
exactly.
a book to you, everything was true, then you're going to turn around and say it's a bunch of lies. How do you expect somebody to believe anything that you write?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
It's like she had said her baby's father was abusive to her, but his wife said that he wasn't, but she wasn't there to know that, but, you know, just the point that she said that Superhead was lying about it, and Superhead said she wasn't lying about it, but, you know, who knows? Who knows tell her the truth? If she's going to say one thing, then deny it, then you might as well deny everything, because what do you pick and choose what's the truth?
Exactly.
After you said everything was the truth?
Exactly.
Right.
Well, these are very good topics, you know, because I think it's a lesson in learning that we got to carry with us every day, because, you know, we got to be careful that we don't fall into the traps, because they got a lot of traps out here, you know. And at the same time, though, I think a lot of people are trying to be rich and famous. At the same time, they're stupid, you know, and everybody has talents and skills. We need to know how to work it much better.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm not saying I'm above, but I'm also saying I'm not beneath. But
right.
I want to see how people make it, but at the same time, and make it in not an embarrassing way, make it where we're examples and role models, because we got to realize we got enemies out here, and a lot of people don't always have our best interests in concern.
That's the truth.
Well, especially when it comes to money, it's like all that money is like they would do and say anything to get you where they want to get you to do whatever it is that's gonna make that money. And I mean, but we learned that as a kid, and then they become adults and they act like they never heard that before. And you just go along with the program, and then you cry foul. It's like, no, you don't get to play, you know. Okay, back to T.O. right quick. To me, he's a big, and I can't say this word right, I never do, temper tapper, whatever that word, you know. He just throws them. And most people will back off of him because of that. And once he got used to that, that was a power trip for him. And then he woke up one day and he realized they're not going to keep putting up with this. By the time he woke up, it was too late, because he done lost enough jobs where don't nobody want to deal with him no more, and this, that, and the other. And I'm maybe I'm kind of defensive in that way or whatever, but I'm not one to always make excuses for what some of them choose to do. I feel as though they need to own up to what they did, and that's going to invoke a certain amount of change automatically. But if you don't own up to what you did, and the people around you are the ones who are wrong, then you're going to stay in that particular state that you're in.
Let me tell you something about T.O. T.O. better get himself together, because he's probably paying that child support. So he better get himself together and get stable. So he can make some money.
They're
going to
see him in jail.
Exactly. He's going to be in jail, because those women that he have children by are not playing with him. He needs to support his children. See, he turn around and he's not gainfully employed. You're right. He's going to wind up in jail. And you can't.
Mm-hmm.
When you make babies, when you make babies, you got to support them.
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing to play with now. And that's the mother and father. They got to support the child. You gotta support your babies. I got a problem with men and women that do not take care of their children, their responsibility with children and their family. So he better be happy he's in a position to make money, get yourself together psychologically, okay, and go ahead about your business and raise your family. So
we're going to take a little break and come back. I have another interesting discussion. I'd like to talk about a girl who was held hostage for 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
And finally so we'll be right back after this brief musical interlude.
Okay.
Chubop, my baby. Chubop, chubop.
Hello, stranger. It seems so good to see you back again. How long has it been?
Seems like a mighty long time. Chubop, chubop, my baby. Ooh.
It seems like a mighty long time.
Come out of the house back and forth, Smith said.
I didn't think she was being held hostage in the house. Long known for its strip clubs and poverty, Washington Park, tucked on the edge of East St. Louis, has gripped for years with corruption and violent crime, punctuated by the 2010 shooting death of the village's mayor, John Thornton. The suspect in that killing was convicted in April of first-degree murder and awaits sentencing. Washington Park, where 86% of the 4,200 residents are black, is one of the state's poorest regions and twice since 2004 has filed for bankruptcy, the last time in 2009. Now, this story has some comments to go with, and I'm going to read a few of them that, you know, people had left on the page I got it from. One said, the town is a toilet bowl like its neighborhood in St. Louis, which downtown St. Louis mounts 5 minutes away. Seven women robbed at gunpoint, leaving their Cardinal game this week. Last week, a woman visited for an alumni volleyball game, murdered in her car. Old lady leaving bingo, kidnapped, car set on fire with her in the trunk. Think it's a matter of time before the good people get together and start taking matters into their own hands. The police can't help. They're so outnumbered. The judges keep slapping the thugs' hands and putting them back on the streets to prey on the innocent, defenseless people. People will only take so much before they say, I got this. I have lived here all my life and have seen how the area around me has fallen to the gangsters' element and what MetroLink and Section 8 housing bring to your town. People have no self-pride anymore. So watch your back, thug boys. I feel a change is coming. Then somebody wrote, I know it's not practical, but they really need to level places like this, people and all. Even people with good intentions who may live there are corrupt by their own environment. It's so sad to see what these animals have done these towns. I'm reading like it's wrote, their own towns. I would rather be in prison than live in one of these ghettos. Then someone else wrote, so basically, these monkey people stole the child and took her to their jungle lair, held her captive, and none of the other monkeys asked or noticed. I say, shoot the male monkey and put the mama in a cage with no bananas. Then someone said,
wow.
This sucks. She will be 20 and strung out on all kind of drugs, and the child will grow up in a criminal, to be a criminal. Then someone else wrote, kill all blacks. And someone responded to that. They said, Brian, look at your race. Is that what you have? Is that why you had no photo up? African Americans had nothing to do with the way this country is, idiot. And they say racism doesn't exist anymore. You are a prime example, stupid bitch. I mean that with great pleasure in saying it. Okay, there were some more comments, but we're going to discuss this incident. And it does raise some questions because one of the neighbors said that it looked like the girl wasn't forced or wasn't being held as hostage. It didn't look like that to her, but... and then one of the comments that said it may have been a pimp and prostitute situation, you know, different things were said about this, but regardless of whatever was said about it, in 2 years, what was her parents doing? You know, because it didn't say anything about they had been looking for her for 2 years. They just said they went to this house. It didn't say that they was tipped off or anything like that, but then that's the media for you, because the media's not going to give you the meat of the story anyway, just what they want you to hear. And this is one of the poorest regions, and they even filed for bankruptcy. And, you know, it must be a miserable place. And when they went into this house, they said that the living conditions were deplorable. Mm-hmm. Her mother and her son, 24-year-old man and his mother. Now, I don't know the meat of the story. I'm only, you know, reporting it. Well, reading it like it was, like I got it off the internet. But it does raise some questions, because who was this relative who came and, you know, rescued her, helped her to escape? where was this relative at? And, you know, what was going on? What made this relative go to that particular house? And how did they know she was there? You know, those are questions that I'm interested in having answered. But like I said, the media will give you what they want you to have. So do you guys have any remarks or comments on this?
Yeah, I do. That's an interesting relationship and friendship, or, like you said, a house of ill repute, or whatever I'm trying to say it appropriately, because I don't want to put the young sister down because I don't know the whole situation. But
right, exactly.
And is she, was she really captive, or was she somehow having to pay rent for maybe having sexual phases with other people? I don't know. It seems strange. Like you said, a relative had to come and rescue her. How did he or she know where she was at?
And this
what
has been missing for years.
Exactly. And what kind of information from the family member rescuing her did he know? How did he know where she was at? And what does he have to say about it? So, something strange about that whole operation and situation going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the situation is, was she really held captive? Were they doing other things in order to be employed and getting money? Or was she really under that much fear that she was captive? I mean, like you said, it could go back and forth. I like the first lean on positive things before I lean on a negative. Because the media feeds off of, I see your point, negative things. That's how they sell newspapers. That's how the internet is able to survive, off a lot of negative things and not positive things sometimes. So I guess that's a strange situation.
Maybe the relative may have been a member of the boy and his mother's family who had, you know, helped her to escape.
Sure.
You know, that may have been possible, you know, because they may have seen her in there and, you know, felt bad for her and, you know, took the opportunity to help her step out of there. You know, I don't know.
The other thing, they were feeding her, clothing her, making sure that she needed what she needed as a woman during certain times of the month. You mean to tell me they were able to put her under lock and chain like that and she wasn't able to get away?
Well, one neighbor said that she seen her coming in and out of the house. You know, and she felt that she wasn't being held against her will. You know,
but we don't really know. Right. Was she under any kind of narcotic? Was she under any kind of narcotic or anything?
They're not saying that. They're not saying
right.
It may have been, this story is more than what meets the eye. That's the fact right there. That is a true fact. But they only give you what they want you to know. Because,
sure.
Like I said,
the interesting part of that story, and I'm really surprised that they're taking the position that they seem to be taking with this story, and it makes me, like, I haven't seen a picture of her. It just makes me wonder who she is or maybe where she comes from. For example, the reason I say that, go back to Elizabeth Smart. They talk about how when a person that is almost a brainwash type of thing, when they have been captive so long and they, I guess, believe the fear or whatever the case may be. Now, even the neighbor who talked about seeing her outside, she didn't talk about that baby. So if they had her child, she's not going to run, won't try to run because her baby is in there with them. So there's things that could have kept her immobilized within their confines. And it just makes me wonder some of the other details, as you all have already said, as to others' involvement, because I'm concerned, but I'm curious as to who is this relative And why after 2 years are you coming into the picture? And, like, you know, hopefully it was a relative of theirs and not a relative of hers, because if it was a relative of hers, it makes you wonder, was that person complicit in this up until a certain point or whatever? So there are so many holes in that, you really can't even form any kind of decent opinion, because it's not enough fact.
Right. That is true. That is true. There's a lot of holes in this story, a lot. But eventually, somewhere down the line, the truth will prevail, because whatever happens in the dark comes to light, you know. But that's just how the media chopped this story up. But you notice when Elizabeth Smart was missing and that other chick out and was held captive for 18 years or something like that.
Exactly.
That story was so detailed and just, you know, almost like a little book. They did make a movie out of it. But, you know, this is...
That's why I said, I wonder who this young lady is. Now, the second, the one for the 18 years you're talking about, I don't know that she necessarily came from money. I don't remember that. But Elizabeth Smart came from money. And so the whole way they handled that, the whole, you know, so it just makes you wonder, like, is this person, quote, unquote, important enough to really make a story out of, you know, it's sad. It's sad.
Well, first of all,
because
they already said
like
that it's one of the poorest regions in the state. Tell you, they don't care about the people or what happens to those people.
Didn't you say that X amount percent of that place is black? It's probably a little black girl.
Yeah, 86%
she don't warrant the
black.
Same treatment. Exactly. Exactly. And that's why we're hearing that story the way we're hearing that story, and it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
86% is black. So, therefore, they don't care. You know, they went in there and did their little thing and called it a day. And that, you know, it's sad if this story went another way. And then they never said anything about when she was released, got back with her parents, and, you know, how they felt. You know, all that stuff. Elizabeth Smart and that other girl, her parents were so happy, this, that.
Mm-hmm.
But this story is just, it's just crazy, you know. And the reporter who did this story, shame on you. That's all I got to say about that. Shame on the reporter who did this story. Shame on the people who are involved in this story. And, you know, I do hope that this young girl, she's 17 now because she was kidnapped. When she left, she was held hostage for 2 years, and she was in the custody of these mother and son when she was 15. So she's about 17. She may be a little older than that about now. But, you know, it's just I just hope that she's gotten counseling or she's doing better, and, you know, I hope her son does grow up, and I hope that, you know, she doesn't turn to drugs or prostitution or all the other negative things that can embellish her and her son. You know, I pray that they both come out all right, and, you know, hopefully that they get out of that city, that region, that state, and, you know, get on with their lives. Okay, another, I know you guys heard about the young basketball player who attacked his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
At Cleveland, Tony Farmer's talent on the basketball court made the Garfield Heights High School senior one of the top college recruits in the country. But Farmer may have forfeited a scholarship and his future when he attacked his ex-girlfriend in her apartment building in Bedford Heights on April 23rd. The surveillance video obtained by the Fox 8 1i team shows Farmer striking 18-year-old Andrea Lane in the head and then continuing to strike and kick her as she cowered in a corner and pleaded for him to stop. But police said he dragged her outside by the hair and continued to assault her. Then Farmer collapsed after receiving a sentence. Then when she tried to get back inside the apartment building, he attacked her again, tried to pull her outside, and later kicked her in the head 4 times. In court on Thursday, Lane said, "I don't know what was wrong with him that day. I mean, I know he was a good person. I hope he still is. I hope he learns from this. Brahma collapsed in the courtroom on Tuesday after Judge Pamela Baker sentenced him to 3 years in prison on charges that including kidnapping and felonious assault. In an interview with the I-Team, Baker says she was not swayed by supporters of Farmer, who asked that she be lenient so that he could pursue a basketball scholarship or even the victim's request that he not be sent to prison. Baker told Fox 8, there's nothing in the sentencing guideline that talks about him being a basketball star and being able to go forward, but obviously she's been traumatized by this whole situation. The judge says she also concluded Farmer was not remorseful after his initial arrest because he later attempted to intimidate the victim by sending her a series of text phone messages. He certainly threatened her or said that he should have done something more to her so that, in addition, what I saw on the tape was very telling to me. It was a violation of no contact order that was put in place to protect her, Barker said. And as Farmer heads to prison, the judge says he only has himself to blame for the cloud that now hangs over his once bright future. For opportunities that were lost, I would just say that he lost them, said Barker. Now, you know what? The girl who's saying that he was good, he was this, he was all that, he couldn't have been but so good. He's kicking, stomping, pulling her by her hair and all that stuff. You know, she sounds like she has battered woman syndrome to me. Because when somebody is kicking, punching, and beating and kicking you, it's nothing good about them.
I know that's right.
And when I saw the thing on television, I think a coach or somebody, they was all crying and Farmer passing out, but not once did he say, and that girl was in the courtroom too, not once did he turn around and say to her, I'm sorry. He was passing out, he was crying, he was sad because he had lost his career, and that's what you get in Cracker Jacks. You can't go around putting your hands on people, beating people up, treating people the way you want to treat them, and expect everything to go good for you in your life. I'm glad they did take it from him. He does not deserve it, because if he beat her up, who's to say when he gets up there big time, he won't be butting one of his women in the head, or he won't be punching or kicking one of his women around. You know, so therefore, it was nipped in the bud. And when he goes to jail, I hope somebody can give him what he gave that girl.
Well, I'm going to say this coming from a man. I think that the example that Chris Brown left for us was a good example of what could happen to people who go around putting their hands on women. You can't, I mean, anybody you got to put your hands on, you a man and that's a woman, you don't need to be with them or vice versa. Any woman that goes around putting her hands on a man, I mean, that abuse of force and power and that control issue needs to go out of the window. And usually people who do that have such a low self-esteem, got esteem issues, that, like you said, things should be taken away from them, and they should realize that as a result of doing things that are not morally correct, you have to pay and you will be punished. I think he deserves, like you said, to get his butt whipped by somebody that has a little bit more strength and power over him so he can see how it feels. I have a friend of mine who's an attorney who told me that he doesn't believe in the death penalty. And that's fine. Some people don't, because they feel that it's wrong and unjust, because a lot of us is racist, and a lot of people who go to death row, sometimes they don't commit the crime. But
right. How
do you punish? Right, that's true. But how do you, like this guy that went inside of a Batman movie in Colorado and sprayed the movie with some type of gas, and then he turns around and sprays the movie with bullets? I mean, he has to be somebody that says, no death, no injection, no, come on. a man like him, he shot and killed 12 people, and he shot altogether 71. A man like him, yeah, you send him to jail and put him out in regular population for a year after he gets his butt whipped real good, and then you execute him. Some people deserve the punishment that they give out. It's that simple.
Well, my thing is, if I had anything to do with the justice, I would make them suffer. This is what I would do. And I say this all the time, and I honestly mean this. I would put them in an underground jail. First of all, they do have an underground jail. Put them in the underground jail, feed them bread and water every day until they die. Let them suffer, because when you kill them, it's all over for them. It's all over, and never let them get out of jail. Just put them in an underground cell, feed them bread and water once a day until they die.
Well, but the other thing is that a lot of time the death penalty is for the family and close ones. Because, in other words, a child gets shot at 3 years old, or a young lady who had matriculated herself into law school, or a young man that's in medical school, or this great artist or this great musician gets shot and killed, or, you know, so you have to somehow remedy the folks who lost their loved ones. Now, I know what you're saying about the suffering of people, and there had to be some sanity involved with the person who was hurting these folk. And your point is that the little bit of sanity that they have by giving them bread and water, they'll always remember what they did. But you got some people that need to be taught a lesson, and they're bad seeds. They come on the planet bad seeds, and they must be punished. And I hate to say it, sometimes death is the best punishment for them. I mean, it depends. You can go back and forth, but I'm talking about a fair trial where we know this person has eliminated and taken lives unjustly. You know, it has to be a remedy, and I think it's up in the air what type of remedy we should give them, but I'm not against the death penalty. Charles Manson, I have no problem with him going to death. I think he was taken off the death row because a political incident happened, and once they take you off, they don't put you back on. So he will suffer to the day he dies. But some people, they just are bad seeds, and they need to be executed. That's all to it.
Right, but I feel that way too, but I just think that they need to suffer. So let them suffer, and you feed somebody bread and water once a day, they're not going to be around but for so long, and they will suffer. You know, so and being underground, they're having no physical contact, not being around anybody, and you're just down in this hole. You'll feel it. Some people do deserve to be executed, get the injection and all those types of things. But my thing, I would like to see them suffer, you know that they're suffering. Because a person, if somebody's begging and pleading for their life, they're suffering too. So you need to suffer as well, you know, opposed to just getting a needle put in your arm, you peacefully are gone. So you feel no pain, you just gone. Let them feel that pain.
Can I add something? Yeah, I want, when you close this subject out, I want to add something. I want to say something about, we were talking about Marcus earlier, and we were talking about pornography, and I was thinking about Fishburne's daughter. I guess that could be another subject. Now, a woman
right,
like
Lawrence
that.
Fishburne's daughter. What's her name?
I forget.
Montana.
Okay. Montana, yeah.
I was say this because I don't want to lose my thought, that I was thinking about how her father wasn't in her life, how she wanted to start a career in acting, and she was able to do an opportunity with pornography. Well, my point is that a situation happened where she was able to now put herself out in the public, and we don't see her, and that's another thing, and we don't see her anymore. Do you look at her as being used for that particular time period? Or do you look at her saying, I'm going to stop because there's another way out, avenue I can make it in the acting world? I just want to ask you a question.
Well, I really haven't heard any more about her, but I did hear that she did a couple of X-rated movies, but other than that, she just faded out. So I don't know if she took the opportunity to go the other way or, you know, just what's going on in her life.
I think she was used for her name. And because she wasn't very good, number one. I did see that particular video. Her body was not even, quote-unquote, pretty. She had pop marks and all this kind of stuff. I think she was used for her name, and she was used to bring attention to the guy. Pumper.
It was her pimp boyfriend.
Right. He used her because of her name, and he had a hold of her, and he knew it was going to get in all the news and this, that, and the other because of who her father was. And then once he used her, he was done.
Right.
Oh, really? In other words, the guy who did the production was her friend. He was the one who was trying to get the publicity. He was
a wannabe porn star that wasn't getting any gigs, and so he produced his own. And he happened to go out here, and he happened to find somebody who had a name behind them already. That bringing her on board caused all this media. You know, that video got seen by people that would have never looked at that video. I got my hand raised. I'm one of them. But for who it was involving. And now his name, because he did get a few opportunities after then. But that was what that was all about. He was trying to make a name for himself. That was all about him. That's why he started in the
woods. Oh, that's how it happened.
Yeah. Yeah, because
he didn't go nowhere, and neither did she, though. That's right.
Because I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything, you know, since all that big hoopla, her father being upset, and she getting with that pimp, and, you know, doing her thing and whatever. And all of a sudden, it just, like, she just disappeared.
Because I said that to say that I saw a little bit of it, and I didn't think you most basically saw her and not him, right? Correct?
No, I saw him. He was there. You know, it's so funny how when they're making them videos and they purposely stop and adjust the camera and they faces all up in the camera and whatnot, those were the times when you saw him. Okay. When it was stationary. But the majority of that, you're absolutely correct. It was her. But he made sure his face was in there. That was the whole purpose of that. He was trying to make a name for himself because he considered himself, quote unquote, this little pimp that wasn't getting no play. And he got this name person, and he thought that name was going to give him all this fame because he knew the media was going to jump on it right away.
Very good point. Okay, I learned something. Okay.
Yeah, that's what happened because I haven't heard anything no more about it. And like you said, her body, not all that, because they was talking about her body was messed up.
Let me tell you something. Okay. It almost looked like that woman had cigarette burns all on her buttocks and in her the entrance to her private area. That's how, when I said pop marks, that's what it was. It could have been acne, but it did not look good. And I'm sitting here like, oh, my goodness.
Wow.
It wasn't good. And so, no, I didn't watch the whole entire thing, but it's like, wow. And then my daughter had told me about him. She said, oh, he's been around for a long time trying to make a name for himself. So I guess he's going to make a name for himself now with a named person. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Part of what put an end to that is that Lawrence Fishburne would not react on camera. Now, we don't know what he did behind the scenes, but he didn't see. Because if you remember, after then, they followed him. They followed the family. It was him, the wife, and the two little ones. They followed them to somewhere where they were going, and they ignored the camera, just like it wasn't there. I don't know whether it was the zoo or something. They kept trying to get a reaction out of him, and he would not give them one. That's the reason that story died down.
He was smart.
Yeah.
He was smart.
Yeah. didn't feed into it.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it died down, because he was working on something, because they even came on the set until they, you know, pushed him off of the set, and he wouldn't respond to it. He wouldn't even give a quote. He said nothing. And that's probably what closed that story out, because if he had responded, it would have been that adversary type of thing, and they would have kept that going, because Brian Pumper would have opened up his mouth and, you know, back and forth, and it's like, no. But it's like, no, he thought he was going to make a name for himself using her.
Okay. Good. Okay.
When you chasing that dollar, and you know, you have too many people out here in general that they always chasing that quick dollar. That quick dollar go just, if it comes, it goes just as fast as it comes. And then you have to deal with the repercussions of your actions for what you did to get it. And it's like, really? Really? You know, No.
We only have 6 minutes, but I really wanted to touch on the LeBron James? What's the basketball player's name?
You said it right.
Oh, LeBron. He has a pair of $315 tennis shoes.
Ridiculous.
By Nike. And I'm going to say this really, because like I said, we only have 6 minutes left. He's not going to, just like they said, they talked about how Michael Jordan cut the price down on his, but LeBron is not going to do that. And somebody had an interesting show on the radio yesterday about how these shoes are going to flood into the black community, because you're not going to see too many whites paying $315 for a pair of tennis shoes, and they were not made for whites. But my thing is, when the North Face and the Eddie Bauer, all them things came out, children were actually killing each other.
Yeah.
Take them from the children that had them. So what do you think these $315 tennis shoes are going to do when somebody wants them and can't afford to get them? You are going to be hearing about somebody getting killed over a pair of tennis shoes. And I really think it's ridiculous, just crazy. And they're using his name. It's not like he designed the tennis shoe or he thought it up. They're using his name. And it's going to cause so much heartaches for children who can't get those shoes, and for the children who are going to be stealing those shoes and killing for those shoes. And, you know, it's sad. I think it's really sad.
Well,
y'all
got to
keep
going.
It's really a sad situation, but I think whether
black athletes realize it or not, and I'm putting even Gabby Douglas in this now with the rest of the men, is that they got to be careful what they say and do. And they're in a position of leadership, and they are role models. And I think they got to be thinking first about what they're getting into, because you know they have a way now to pull a lot of African American males and females out of the situation they're in to be successful. So when a guy promotes $300 sneakers and he's not in the neighborhood showing and using his skills of how he got the way he got, or you got a young lady like Gabby Douglas, every time you turn around, what comes out of her mouth is her father was a staff sergeant in the reserve. He didn't take care of them. When you got this negative stuff that these act like I was talking about T.O., you know, we need a black think tank to make sure that we say and do the right things when we get on certain platforms and we're able to make it in life. Because it's young people that are looking at us that are our future that we must learn how to mold and shape so they can do a better job with the next generation. You know, $300 sneakers. He can't get anything else to advertise for. I mean, you know, you got programs in the inner cities and all in America that he could be helping to push and promote instead of some sneakers. Come on.
Yeah, that is true. But, you know, it's so sad. And that, like they had mentioned, that Michael Jordan, he had lowered the price on his shoes. But LeBron He's not lowering it. And it's just for status and you know, so they can say, well, he, you know, because his name is on something. And he got to realize, and I know he knows that it's going to be a lot of heartache, a lot of problems behind these $315 tennis shoes. Can you imagine how many people can eat off of $315 in Africa?
Hey, listen, they got a pair of sneakers. That's those endorsement people. They got a pair of sneakers that around the ankle look like slave chains.
Well, I think they took those off the market because there was so much controversy behind
that.
But who did they get for? For blacks.
Yeah.
You know, why would you make a pair of tennis shoes with chains around them?
Yeah.
You know, and I believe there would have been some blacks that would have bought them.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're marketing them, too.
Huh? Yeah, we are in slavery as far as consumerism is concerned. We don't mass produce.
That is so true. I'm so glad you said that. That is the truth.
Oh, yes.
As long as somebody's name is on something, people will ride still and kill to get it. What they should do with that, everybody who gets $315 need to put it in a pot. You know, start up a website or something that people contribute who want those tennis shoes, put $315 in a pot and start their own little business or get a designer to design some inexpensive shoes and sell them themselves. You know, do something constructive with that money. $315, some people working for minimum wage will work and save up their money, won't even buy food, won't buy no clothes, they won't do nothing until they get that $315 so they can get those shoes and say, I got a pair of LeBron James shoes.
That's ridiculous.
You know,
you're right. Our priorities are screwed up.
Yeah. Very screwed up.
Yep.
And until we take a stand and stop being a slave to the economic status, and you know, because I bet you get those shoes, you're gonna outgrow them within a year or whatever. Then they're gonna come out with some $400 ones. They say, oh, well, we sold them, so now we get up to ante. And realize what those tennis shoes will do for your feet, or do something at a less expensive, the same thing a less expensive pair of tennis shoes would do. I mean, what can they do? Can they fly? Can they make you jump higher? Do they make you walk faster? No, I mean, what's the big deal? $315. When I saw that, I said, you know what? Nike need to be ran out of town on a rail. Because they're sitting back, and you know what they're doing? Oh, we're gonna get this money. We're gonna get it. We ain't even worried about it.
Yep.
Because they're
right.
gonna get, and then within a year or so, they're gonna lower the price. They're gonna lower the price. But right now, they're gonna be $315, and that's what LeBron James wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bad.
Delicious. Where are you calling from? Delicious. Where are you calling?
Capitol Heights, Maryland.
Oh, in Maryland. Okay, because I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the co-host?
What's
where
your
calling?
Name?
My name is
What's
T.
Your name?
Mr. T. They call. T. T. E.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about the co-host? Where are you calling from?
Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. Very good. Okay. The Windy City. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. What about my question? That's right. The co-host that's calling from Chicago, my question to you is that what is the inner city of Chicago saying about Barack Obama's commitment to African Americans and what he's done for the inner city of Chicago? Is he all that people think he is, or did he just use Chicago as a platform to get elected?
Good question. Hold on 1 second. Let me put this earpiece back in because I had to sit up when you asked that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I did. I had to sit up, and when I sat up, I pulled it out. People initially expected him to do a whole lot. But then those that tend to talk to me, I would make one statement, and usually they didn't like it. And eventually I think they started waking up and realizing that one or two things. Either they're mad at him and saying he didn't keep his promises, or they woke up and they realized that what they were saying was wrong. First of all, Barack Obama wasn't the president of Chicago. He's the president of the United States of America. Chicago is a small piece of that. And when they used to say that to me, I'm like, okay, what did you expect him to do? You expect him to do exactly what they think he was going to get in there and do? See, then they would have had a reason to impeach him. Okay, because instead of honing his office and doing what he's supposed to do for the United States of America, he's pushing his stuff back toward Illinois. He, you know, and we got our name Windy City. Our name Windy City ain't got nothing to do with the wind. It has to do with our politicians. Our politicians blow whichever way the wind blows. In other words, whichever way the money flows, that's the way Chicago politicians roll. That's where that name came from.
I didn't know that. I think so. Oh, okay.
See, our name came from when, and I can't think of his name right now, because I didn't know it was directly associated around his time. I think we had one that was impeached or whatever they do to him, and it was before Dele number one, Dele Senior, got in office.
Right.
And that's when they started calling us the Windy City. The Windy City ain't got nothing. People try to say, oh, it's because of the wind coming off the lake. No, it doesn't. It has something to do with our politics and the fact that Chicago will go whichever way the wind blows. You give them the money, and that's what we know that our politicians do. So you wanted Barack Obama to get in office and do exactly that? Give them a reason to impeach him so they can say, oh, we gave the niggas a chance. And look what they did. You know what I'm saying? And stuff like that. I'm like, no, he's not the president of Chicago. So they shouldn't have never looked at him that way. But a lot of them did. Initially a lot of them did.
That's an interesting point. Now, you also got the only city where they refer to a massacre as Saint. The Saint Valentine's Day Massacre, where people were murdered. They refer to that as a saint. Interesting. The other thing is that I want to know what the responses are of people, because a lot of people don't claim that Barack Obama is grassroots as they say he is. In other words, people like Bobby Rush, and I heard a few other people were saying that if he was an organizer, where did he organize at? And things of this nature. Well, he was able to get elected. I do know that. We know that. But when he hooked up grassroots organizations in Chicago, whether it was the Blackstone Rangers, the Rick Rookin, whether it was Bobby Rush, I want to know, did he connect with those people? And because look at his minister, Jeremiah Wright. How did he wind up there? And what are the people in Chicago's opinion of him? And does it look like he'll get reelected?
He's not going to get the votes, in my opinion, that he got the first time.
Sure.
But as long as his opponent continue to do the things that he's doing, he's going to get votes that he didn't get the first time. Because
interesting point.
Exactly. And so it's almost like it's do or die. You have, believe me, you have a huge amount that don't feel as though he upheld what he said he was going to do when he got in office, because he was supposed to change this and change that, and my life ain't no better than this than the other. But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see where it goes, because me personally, I don't feel as though he's had enough time to accomplish what he needed to accomplish, because the first thing he needed to do was get in there and start trying to clean up what was already done.
That's a good point. Now, my other question to you is that if he's reelected the second time, do you think that he will do a lot for the inner cities with African Americans? Or do you think he'll try to do the best he can for everyone? And will we
he's not gonna no, he's not gonna he's not going well, okay. He shouldn't point it toward African Americans.
Okay.
He should not single them out. That's what is expected of him. That's what they're waiting on him to do. Then that word people trying to throw around, call impeach, watch what happens.
Right. So in other words, you still think he should be the president of the United States?
Because that's who he is. That's who
exactly.
He is. He's the president of the United States of America, not the African Americans in America.
Now, I got another question for you. His wife, Michelle, what is your opinion of her?
She's absolutely fabulous.
Okay. All right.
I think she has, and she's kept her humbleness. She's remained who she was the entire time. Those things didn't change her. There are some things that she has done that, quote unquote, went outside of, I guess, the correct things to do. You know, like
sure.
The time when she went and saw the queen, and she put her hand, I think, on the queen's shoulder or whatever, and they said, you never touched the queen, or this, that, and the other. Well, she may not know those things because that's her down-home personality. And she's
sure.
remained the same. But I think she's fabulous. And I think she's given a whole lot of little black girls somebody to look up to.
Oh, both of them. Both of them are two people to look up to. Barack Obama
exactly.
has given the male. He's given the male something to look up to, and it's like she's given the female something to look up to, and they also have given the family something to look up to, because
exactly.
now he takes his wife and his two daughters. He took his mother-in-law. So, I mean, that's great. But people
well,
also
she was
talk
here with the,
about,
she was here when they were here. She had her own home, but she spent
right.
a lot of time working with the girls, and then when she went on her retreat was back to her own home. So when she went to
right.
D.C., she should have went.
That's a good point. Now, my other question to you is that, but what about Barack's family in Africa? Well, the next time around, do you think that he will bring them in the White House with him? Because that's a problem.
No.
I mean, not unless
he
lives.
And
he
should.
Okay.
I don't think he should. That's my opinion. I don't think he should because they have not been focal. He's been more close to his family in Hawaii than he's ever been, and that's where he goes for vacationing. And if you notice, that's still where he goes for vacationing. I don't think his life should change from any way it was prior to him becoming president. And all of a sudden, you know, you can't have all those hang-ons. They had a very good show on Unsung about Gerald LaVert, and they
right.
talked about that. And it's like, okay, really? No. He should if he was not, you know, just like when they started bringing out what the brother and the sister and one of them was homeless and this, that, and the other, you did that to try to tear him down. Hell, they were homeless before he got there or whatever state they were in. What did you think he was supposed to do as president? Just write an order to change it? No.
So what about his other side of his family, the white part of his family? Where are they at, and will he? Does he come to them? What's going on?
I don't think he's going to. I don't think he should change
mm-hmm.
anything from the way he's been doing things. If this, however he's been dealing with them, or however his association has been, it should not change.
Okay.
Because when he goes home to them, if he goes home to them, he should still just be Barack Obama. He's only the person when he's, you know, when he's with family, he should be able to be around family. That's just
okay.
my opinion, but.
Okay,
but that
least,
being
well,
said,
hoping
I'm...
not, he wouldn't. Let's put it like that.
Okay,
with that being said, I want to send out our condolences to the family of Phyllis Diller. She died
yeah.
at the age of 25. She paved the way for the first, she was the first stand-up female comedian. She paved the way for, you know, the rest of the female comedians that came along. And she was
mm-hmm.
really funny. I like Phyllis Diller, so we're going to rock it up to Phyllis Diller. And I have a few announcements I want to make before we close out the show. As some of you may or may not know, I am an author, publisher, poet, romance consultant. If you have a manuscript, you want me to look it over, you can email it to me at info@jjpublishing.com. And I also have a website, which is JJ Publishing. That's J-A-Y, publishing.com. I'm an author of four published books, working on my fourth and fifth book. I'm also have a client whose book I'm working on. And also, next week's show, I have an addition to my Delicious Talk show, which is Bringing Sexy Back. For anybody's out there listening tonight, hope you enjoyed that show last week, and we're going to have many more like that to come. On the August the 29th, which is, I'll go with the August the 29th, which is the show that airs Wednesday, Bringing Sexy Back. That show is going to be Sex versus Lovemaking. And August the 31st, which is my general Friday show, Delicious Talk, is Slow Jams. August the 5th, which will be a Wednesday, Bringing Sexy Back. That show is Does Size Matter? And if you have any subjects or topics you'd like to talk about on either of my shows, feel free to email me. My email address is gjdelicious37@gmail.com, or you can inbox me right here. I also have a Facebook page. That's facebook.com, Gail Delicious Johnson. I also have a fan page on there. Feel free to drop by and become a fan of mine. I think that's about it. This has been a very interesting show, and I appreciate you for calling in. I appreciate you when you came in last week, and everybody else that's out there listening to my shows, I certainly do appreciate that, and you're more than welcome to leave a comment. I do encourage audience participation, not, you know, just log into the chat room and we'll chat that way. Don't be shy. Don't be scared. I don't bite over here, you know. I just, you know, try to give, you know, my listeners, you know, what they want to hear. And that's about it. Do you guys have any closing remarks?
Well, I always say ladies first, and I come behind you two or one of you.
Okay, Rhea,
well,
you have any
we'll see you on Wednesday, hopefully.
Okay.
What you mean, hopefully?
Well,
well, we don't know how tomorrow ain't promised to name one of us. No.
That is the truth. That is the truth. You're definitely right about that.
I would say it's been great, like always. I look to chime in on Wednesday. What time Wednesday? 10:30? What time?
Yeah, Wednesday at 10:30. The show airs at 10:30 on Wednesday, and my Friday show airs at 11 p.m.
Okay. 10:30, yeah. And I would like to say that, you know, it's always great, and I'm always learning. I'm always open to hear what other people have to say. I like to give out information, but most of all, I like to get it because
right.
I never know.
I appreciate you coming on and sharing with us, you know, because like I said, I do encourage audience participation. You know, if you have any questions or comments, or, you know, if you just want to listen, or, you know, whatever
right.
it is, I do appreciate that.
And it's one more thing that I had to say, but I know we get ready to close out. I wanted to talk about LL Cool J and his self-defense move. But that'll be another time.
Oh, well, you
time,
can do that. Yeah,
okay,
go on and do that. We have a few minutes left.
Okay, I just want to say this because I was told that somehow, some way, LL Cool J came amongst a person that was trying to take advantage of him, and he showed that he knew how to defend himself, and he wound up jacking this guy up pretty good. And as a result, he's looked at as a person that stood up for what he was supposed to stand up to, and a person paid dearly for trying to take or injure or break phone or something. I don't know the whole thing. But I mean, that's
right.
I heard about that.
Somebody broke into his home when him and his family was there. The whole family was there. And LL Cool J beat his butt. And you know what? More power to you.
That's where he's supposed to get done. He didn't kill him because he could have killed him for breaking in to his home.
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
So that burglar was lucky.
That's right. He gave him the perfect retribution, which was good.
Yeah,
he
gave him
a couple of
sandwiches. I'm like, go ahead. I bet you he'll think twice. And he had to know who home he was going into. Okay, have you seen that man without his shirt?
Yeah. Yeah, and then he's in those what was he playing? CSI, one of those programs.
Girl,
right? No,
I love that show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that's a lady thing.
He's definitely
physically fit. Yeah, I guess that's a lady thing. I can understand.
No, I'm talking in general. I mean, because at one point he had an exercise book out. So, I mean, have you seen that, you know, maybe he didn't think that LL Cool J was at home, okay? But
right.
To come in his house, and plus, isn't he from New York? So he's from the street. So you didn't know what you was walking into when you walked into that house. And so
when
you come in the house on him, and have you seen, you know, what this man could do to you? That's why, what did he have? A broken rib. He had two things broken.
Lucky, that's all he had.
Let me tell you, you never know what the next person knows, do you? You never know.
No. It's like, are you serious? Seriously, okay. Yeah. Did you think you was going to whoop him? Oh, okay. I think he was
fast. Hey, he's taking some type of martial art. He showed it. Yeah. Okay, ladies. It's been great.
All right,
good
then.
Night.
So with that being said, thanks, T, for calling in. I want to tell everybody in the chat room, thanks for stopping by. Roger Radio Live, Tammy Joan Gibbs. Tammy has a show every Wednesday at 2 p.m. But I think she's going to start in September having a show at 1 p.m. Wednesday. I mean, 1 p.m. Wednesday. It's entertainment. That's entertainment. Also, Black Man 31 stopped by, a guest stopped by, and the people who are listening on the iPhones, iPads, iTunes, wherever you're listening from, I appreciate that. Keep coming back, and see you guys next week. Thanks, Rhea.
You're welcome. Talk to you soon.
Okay, everybody, have a beautiful weekend. Good night.
Have a blessed weekend yourself. Take care.
You're welcome.